Welcome, fellow seekers. My name is Nathan, and this is the Law of One and Spiritual Concepts podcast, where I share my interpretations of the Law of One and other related topics. Today, I'd like to welcome back Victor for another episode. I'm so happy you were able to make some time to talk with us about current events in the world today. I would like to start out by saying that I realize some of these topics can be quite polarizing, and it is not our intention to offend in this discussion, but to offer our limited opinions on these topics. So I would invite you to keep this in mind throughout this discussion. So, without further ado, diving right in. There are a lot of different wars going on these days between the Israelis, the Palestinians, Russia, Ukraine, wars in Sudan, and now the North Korea, South Korea seems like that's picking back up again, unfortunately, too. And this is all on top of political, racial, and all sorts of other common issues we see these days. So I guess I'll extend it to you, Victor. What do you see going on in the world with all of this?
I guess the reason that I felt the desire to talk about this was because it does seem like it's ramping up, like you're saying. There's all of these conflicts going on. And I felt like there was validity on all sides. For example, the Israeli-Palestinian conflict. I felt like, there are valid reasons for Israelis' desire to exist and not be in a situation where they're under attack. And there's also validity in the Palestinian people wanting a home and not wanting to be attacked or controlled. So it's like obviously there isn't an easy answer in this situation, and both sides have very polarized ideas of what the answer is. Mm-hmm. And so kind of from an outside perspective where I'm not Palestinian or Israeli, I'm wondering what is an acceptable view for myself, and what's a balanced view that's fair to both the Israeli and the Palestinian people.
Yeah. Well, that's the million-dollar question, it seems like, now at this point, too. But yeah, with all these, it sure seems like there's just so much catalyst that we're all experiencing. And I guess the way I view a lot of this, too, is it's the Logos kind of attempting to gently nudge you to make a decision to be of service to others, be of service to self, or to be neither, and to just end up repeating this third density experience. So as we know from Ra, we're coming to the end of the third minor or major cycle, completing the master cycle at that point, which would end third density, at least on Earth here. So it seems like all this is ramping up due to that sort of catalytic action, I guess. So continuing on, I guess I wanted to get your opinion too on why it's important to be aware of what's going on in the world from a high level. Like, what are the values to it?
Yeah. I do think it's valuable to be paying attention to what is going on. It's almost as if you can't really help in a situation that you're not paying attention to. Mm-hmm. And if your desire is to be of service to others, then having a perspective of a perspective that is informed seems to be the only way. If you just have ideas about what's going on, but you don't have anything behind it, any real world, then it's difficult to say anything about it. So, for example, for a long time, I didn't really have anybody in my life that was from the Middle East, and I had opinions probably based off of programming from a young age in the United States, especially. I grew up, I saw the towers fall on TV in my mm-hmm. elementary school, and it's from a young age I was conditioned to see Middle Eastern people as bad, and it was maybe subtle at times, and I've seen it kind of turn in the recent years towards, you know, the opposite direction of that. You know, it's probably not, it's not the same programming that was that was happening whenever I was young. And so I think that's kind of an interesting, but I now have had a friend who's from Jordan. Okay. And I talked to him a lot about Islam, you know, and the different issues going on over there in Israel. And it gave me more perspective. And you know, just in that, I feel like I've gained, you know, maybe a step up in my understanding of the conflict over there. And it gives me perspective to give people who have less of a perspective.
Yeah.
On what's happening over there. And so it may not be valuable to people who are literally there, you know, because they see more and they have a much clearer perspective of the truth of what's happening over there. Maybe.
Right.
Right. like, I don't know if it's more more veiled in a way or more difficult to see while you're in the midst of it. But yeah, so I guess, you know, we all pick up different levels of information on these conflicts, and I have mine.
So. Yeah, it's kind of, it seems like it's giving you a higher level of awareness of the situation there, being able to relate to someone who's directly involved in there, not just seeing it through the news and this and that. So
yeah, and it was counter to my perspective. You know, and I think that's really the most important part of it, is that it wasn't just reinforcing some previous perspective of that Arabic people were evil or Islamic people were evil or something. It was I could see this person in front of me that obviously cared about family, God, you know, these types of ideas, treating people correctly, and it was just it was very, I'm very thankful for that experience of getting to know this person.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the other kind of big part to that too is, at least in the spiritual community, it seems like a lot of people are see no evil, do no evil, stay kind of with your head in the sand, I guess. And at least in my opinion, that seems like the wrong approach. If we're here to be of service and to share love with everyone, you need to know what's going on in the world. And you were alluding to this earlier, but in order to be of service your best way possible, even if that is just through meditation or some other stuff, we'll kind of get into a little bit more here, but it's just, you need to be aware of what the issues are, I guess, going on in order to be of service. Yeah, I was thinking a lot earlier too about how just this war and conflict has been such a huge part to our Earth cycle, it seems like here. You had the Maldek entities that exploded their planet, came back and have been incarnating our last 75,000 years. You had the Mars incidents, you've had Atlantis. Had all sorts of different things going on here, the Yahweh group. So it just seems like war has been built into our genetic makeup, I guess, at this point, where maybe we're being pushed to finally make a decision or change that decision now at the end. But it's just, I don't know, a very polarizing time, I think, from that point. And it has a lot to do with our history and past karma coming back as well, too. But I'll stop rambling on that for now. And I think the next part I was kind of curious to get into is just living in this information age that we do and getting news from all different sources from all over the world, how do you discern that information? How do you tell what's accurate, or how do you know what to take as truth?
You know, at some point in the Law of One, it talks about how, you know, we're, I mean, it's either the Law of One or the Kuo material. I'm not really 100% sure. But it talks about how if, you know, basically you have your specific perspective that is informed by all of your experiences. And that results in, you know, your truth or your beliefs. It may be very different from someone else's truth or belief that is informed by their experiences. And so, in the hopes of, I think there was, the question was about reconciling this difference between two different perspectives that are seemingly opposite in this illusion. And it described the solution as, you know, staying true to your own perspective and speaking on it the best that you can when people are, you know, requesting information, basically, or if they're mm-hmm. if they're requesting a dialogue, that you just kind of stay in your own power and while remaining open to that their perspective may be true and valid for them, and not trying to dominate mm-hmm. the energy in some way of saying no, my idea is correct, but instead kind of holding back and saying this is what's correct to me or what's true to me, and what do you think, and let's try to hold this together, and maybe we can meet somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Because that's being honest about that we don't know
mm-hmm.
what the truth is, and I think that opens up this whole this is our chance in this world where, you know, we're in so much conflict. The chance is that we don't try to think that we know everything, and that we can find somewhere in the middle, or that we can reach a point where we both are satisfied
yeah.
with how each other are viewing the world, and move on and live and thrive and
yeah I think the key point there, it seems like, at least to me, is that open mind, being able, we all have our perspectives, and you know, no one person is ever going to be completely right, and really, at the end of the day, these are all different extensions of ourselves being all one. So keeping that open mind and somewhat developing your own truth meter as well, too, it seems like, with what at least resonates with you. And could go back to what you're talking about with the perspectives. It's like a learned or maybe a conditioned sort of state. But yeah, it's an important part to it.
And I think that it's really important that, you know, if you do find yourself coming up against a wall of, you know, this person can't meet me somewhere. And I can't meet them, you know, then you just recognize that, that this is still valid, mm-hmm. you know, it's valid for their experience at this time. And, you know, and your experience is valid for you in this time. And, recognize that it doesn't always have to be this way, but that's where it is right now. It's accepting that there is no reconciliation right now in this moment. And I guess in a way, like on the bigger level, that's important that we realize that there is no solution yet
mm-hmm.
for the Israeli and or the Ukrainian Russian conflict even, or you know, we don't have the answer yet, and that's okay. We can get there.
Yeah, right. Through time, I mean, I think it takes it takes that openness we're talking about, and maybe seeing things from a little bit of a higher level of consciousness or perspective to be able to even come to those sort of agreements, because it's an interesting world we live in. We're dominated by money and a lot of agendas and everything on here, but if the mass consciousness is not putting up with this any longer, it seems like that's an ideal way to come to some sort of agreement by doing what everyone is supporting at that point too, not just what the few want. But.
Right.
One of the raw quotes I thought was kind of interesting was in 26.8, where Don was asking about what percentage of the Old Testament and New Testament were Orion influenced. And of course, Ra wasn't going to give him the direct answer, but they said something I think that relates to this information age and discerning it. And that was that we can only suggest a careful reading and inward digestion of the contents. The understanding will become obvious. So it's like using your own discernment, basically, trusting your intuition, and you'll be guided in the right direction. It seems like it's, maybe that's oversimplifying it, but it just seems like it is so easy, but it's something that's not commonly used, at least in our day and age here.
Right. Yeah. I don't remember that one, but it's congruent, man. I feel that, you know, that sometimes you're able to kind of get to these magical understandings through a way that isn't logical, you know, but it's through intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, those are more exciting.
Yes. So. Well, and then it's like, it's a knowing too at that point too. That's why it's like so exciting. Because it's not just like, okay, you're being fed information on, okay, I was reading this on Instagram or whatever. You're getting this message and it just, you feel it in your heart, it seems like, when you get some of that intuitive information.
Yes. It clicks. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Well, cool. That'll be a good transition now to, I was kind of thinking of some ideas of too, with all this going on, what can we do to help? Or what can, let's say, an individual portion of consciousness here as an entity, what can you do to try to help in what seems like a an issue that's so big that one opinion or one person might not matter as much?
I have very strongly felt that I don't need to be an advocate for either side, you know, but instead to be kind of a bridge for people. And so whenever I find someone at one extreme, I almost want to just offer the other perspective and in a calm way, you know, just mm-hmm. kind of, you know, just kind of sharing that, like, well, there is this other perspective here, and I think it's valuable to see this other perspective, and I'm not invalidating your perspective. And so being a bridge, I think, is where you can really be of service. At least that's my experience. It's like, I don't know what everybody else's experience is, because you see people who are passionately fighting for one side or the other. I can't, you know, I can't see them as doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like someone who's from Ukraine, who doesn't want to be under the control of Russia, who am I to say, oh, well, you need to, you need to have yes. a more balanced perspective. It's like, no, this is war,
mm-hmm.
you know, like we're fighting for our lives. Like and so it's kind of like, they probably would look at this conversation as like childish,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's like, oh, well, you know, there's no use in thinking the, you know, this kind of balanced way. It's like, it has to be this kind of polarization to me. And so there's going to be situations where, you know, I'm not going to be able to reach somebody who is an extreme at an extreme. But I find myself, not in those conversations with those people. I find mm-hmm. myself in situations where I'm, people who are closer to the middle, you know, and who are maybe struggling with finding that balance, but are close.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's just where I, you know, where I fit in this is, and where I can be a service is just kind of being this bridge for people who are kind of close to already seeing both sides.
Oh, and that's perfect too, because I think you touched on an important point also. It seems like our society is so driven towards division here. It's like one side or the other, and then you can't see any sides other than that. So being that bridge, maybe offering the olive branch or an idea on why it's okay to consider at least the other side and accept both as possibilities, I guess that's a crucial role, it seems like, in this day and age where everyone is so far to the left or to the right on all of these different topics.
Right.
But I like the Confederation's always talking about meditation, the importance of meditation and all that with it too. So to me, it seems an important thing that we can do as well is in meditation, sending love and light to these areas that need it the most. You know, it's hard to visualize, I guess, some of this here where you're sending an energy out there. But when you think about it all, is we're all a collective consciousness. We're all one energy there. So it is doing something. It is sending energy out there, whether you're reaching one person or, you know, hundreds of them out there. We don't know. But the more people we have doing this, it's like the meditation effect where you can reduce war and crime in certain areas if you have many people focused on it. So I really like the idea of meditation. And I think LL Research on their website, I'll put a link in the channel here, that they have a meditation going for particularly, I think, the Israeli-Palestinian war there. And just sending that love and light over to them and trying to help in any way we can, since we're obviously very remote from them, but still energy moves as one.
There's no doubt in my mind that what you're talking about may be more important than what I was talking about. Because vibration is everything. And I do really believe that if you are increasing your own vibration, that you are doing something for the planet. And the kind of surface things of like having a discussion with somebody don't matter quite as much as if you are raising your own vibration. I think that in this world, we do need both. But
yeah,
if you're raising your own vibration, maybe those conversations happen more naturally.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to be forced in some way, or they won't be as biased in some way.
Yeah.
And maybe you're able to help more with those conversations if you're raising your vibration.
Yeah, it seems like kind of the set the example or be the example on here is if you can respond and have these conversations in a loving and accepting way, you are maybe the few people who are actually doing it in our society now, but you're setting the example, you're setting that you're raising your consciousness and at least opening the door or planting the seed to all you come in contact with to potentially consider that as an option as well for them.
Right.
I like the idea that comes to mind too, a lot of, we kind of got to decide what's the best use of our energy and our time with a lot of these sort of situations here. So instead of maybe retweeting things on, X now and Instagram and, you know, all these sort of war and fear sort of articles there, maybe it does make more sense to turn inward and consider how you feel about this and, or spend a little more time in meditation. So work on yourself a little bit over other, getting involved in, I guess, the social media and some of the social trends there where we don't even know what's true and what isn't true to a certain extent. So it's be conscious of where your energy is going and your time is going seems to be critical, at least to me.
I totally agree. I haven't been involved with social media in a long time. whereas there have been times that I've been very vocal about, you know, what was going on in our country and the world. And, I think I've recognized something along the lines of what you're describing, that it was almost a waste of time to, engage with these ideas of who's right and who's wrong. It in many ways depolarized my experience where I felt drained. Because I was being attacked for stating what I thought was right in that moment. And there was another aspect of it that it felt right. And that gave me some power as well. But I think the overall was a depolarization. And it made me turn inwards. It made me go, okay, well, that didn't feel quite right. I felt like a loss of energy.
Yeah.
Maybe this is worth revisiting in a different way. And, I think that, I've gotten to the point where it's so much more important for me to, take my time on any of my ideas of what I think is right or wrong, who I express that to. You know, I've withdrawn a lot in that way. I think that's worth it. I think it's worth it to be careful, not try to say something to shock people, into believing the right thing. You know, where I had been that way at some point in my life, where I felt the need to shock people awake into the truth, and it was coming from a perspective that I knew. I knew the right way. I don't feel the need to do that as much. So,
yeah, no, that makes complete sense. I think a lot of us go through those sort of stages as well too. And it's like that internalization then and trusting your intuition that really seems to, raise your consciousness and take you to the next level to say the least. But yeah, I think about it too, from the point that I know so many of us, so many people, especially in the spiritual community, want to do so much, want to help in any way that they can. And it's hard to hear at points, but Ra even mentions too, there's a lot of different reasons that many of us are wanderers that have come here and have different purposes. Some are simply just to hold the light. So to be at that higher level of consciousness or to, you know, affect the people directly around you, you don't necessarily need to go overseas and do anything drastic or, like you're saying, shock people awake or do anything radical. It could just be simply you being is what you've been here to do. So it's maybe from the perspective of all these pre-incarnative choices too, that we don't know the reasons for everyone here and the different conflicts, but we need to trust and accept that everyone's here for a reason and they're having the experience that that they've come here for, I guess, needless to say, and for the experience that they need. Whether, I know that might sound harsh for a certain extent, coming here to be in a war conflict place, but when you look at it from the higher perspective, maybe that is the experience that entities have come here to learn and grow from and take back to others.
Yeah. Some of us come here to die. In fact, all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, right?
But, yeah, no. That was my shock value. There you go.
There you go. You did well on it. The last point I'd just like to make on this topic here of what we can do is just simply being present, being aware of the interactions you're having, what people need at times. I found more times than not, just listening is all some people need to do. They just need to voice an opinion, feel like they've been heard, and that's really all. It's just simple as that at times. But yeah, it's just a matter of being present and being aware of where you're at and where you can be of service at that point. So sometimes easier said than done, but it's keeping a cool head and you know, taking on the situations as they arise.
Right. And at the societal level, if we take the Israeli-Palestinian conflict as an example, the society's ability to kind of do that same thing and kind of step back from their beliefs on this conflict and see the other person as, you know, also part of the creator, part of God or whatever, and instead of another.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like that's the only way, that because they, you know, you're trained, whether you're on one side or the other of the conflict, to see the other side as not human. And it's like, it's important to your survival that you see it that way, that you, and so it is up to individuals within these groups to recognize the humanity on the other side, and to choose not to dehumanize them and not validate the destruction of the other people. It's like, I think that's the only way forward that I can see. Is individuals standing up to their own governments or structures, and choosing something different than what they're being told is the only way. And so, yeah, it's not going to happen if, you know, just the Israeli people choose this or just the Palestinian people choose this. You know, it's like it needs to be chosen by people on both sides. I guess that's just an example. It's the same thing with any conflict. I don't know how I got there, but
well, it was beautifully said. I think you really rounded this out really nicely, because that was a good closing remark here. So I would just open it up if you have anything else to say. But I think we were all following where you're going with it, and it really sums up, I guess, the issues that we're seeing here, and particularly with all this conflict there, and having hope that hope and faith that we can make it through this, and it's going to be a positive outcome at some point here.
Yeah. The only way that we increase the probability vortices of a positive 4D experience for everybody is by believing that it's possible. And yeah, I've been coming up against this a lot about my personal beliefs. Like, it's important to believe in something, to have faith, mm-hmm. you know, like faith and will. It's so important that, you know, you don't get stuck in this, everything's doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, with enough people believing that it's doomed, it will. It can get there, and enough people believing that there's a real hope that, you know, we can move past this, then the probability is in our favor. So, I do believe in the world's capacity for creating a good world in a 4D situation where we're not being dominated, and It requires that individually we believe that it's possible too.
Yeah, man, perfectly said. That was a great ending there, I think, too. So, Victor, I guess with that, I'd like to thank you for coming back out again. It's been awesome having you. I really cherish your opinions and what you have to share on all this. So I think it was a great conversation.
I love you, brother.
Love you, too.
Thanks for inviting me.
Of course, man.
I'd like to thank the listeners for joining us in this episode. I hope you enjoyed the conversation and look forward to seeing you in the next one. I leave you now in the love and in the light.